Arch yesterday in St. Louis. There were Christians spread across half the width of Market Street and about 6 or 8 blocks long. So there were a lot of Christians out there marching. Wonderful. Contrary to bulletin, bells do not meet tonight. Did you meet Tuesday, correct, Christine? Yes. Okay. Any other announcements that need to be made today or any prayers that need to be added? We will have Lloyd Miller, Jerry's brother, to the prayer list. He begins chemotherapy this week. Greet one another with the peace of the Lord.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
You may kneel or sit for confession.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and when he had departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going through Negeb. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistle for today is from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness, apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. will stay without end.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is from the Old Testament reading this day, Genesis chapter 12. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a third grade teacher who asks her students to explain God. This is what 8-year-old Danny Dutton wrote, or at least part of what he wrote. One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so there will be enough people to take care of the things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to walk and talk. He just leaves that to mothers and fathers. He sees everything, he hears everything, he is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't waste his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have. You should always go to church on Sunday because that makes God happy, and if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. If you don't believe in God, you'll be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like to camp. But God can. It's good to know he's around when you're scared in the dark or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown into real deep water by big kids. Not sure I would recommend going to little Danny for all of your theological needs, but this much he has right. Wherever you go, even if it's scary, you don't have to be afraid. You have God's promise. Little Danny knows that when he's 8 years old. Abraham doesn't discover this until he is an adult. Abraham grows up in a family where he is taught to worship idols. Somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit gives to him faith. Faith that believes not in those idols, but in the true God, the one who can actually help us, who comes to our rescue. And God says to Abram, he's still Abram at this point, and Sarah is still Sarai, but I'll call them Abraham and Sarah through the sermon just so there's not confusion. God says to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So Abram went. Those are three pretty powerful words. Abraham went. The man is 75 years old. He's being asked to leave everything that is familiar to him and to go to someplace, well, he doesn't even know where he's going, let alone what's going to happen. And yet, Abraham went. It's as if he packed up the U-Haul, hitched it to his camel, jumped in the driver's seat, Sarah's riding shotgun, and in between them is orphaned nephew Lot. And off they go. And if Lot says, Uncle Abraham, where are we going? Abraham would have to say, well, I don't really know, Lot. We're just supposed to drive until the Lord says, stop. Why? This man is 75 years old. He doesn't have any idea what he's getting himself into. Wouldn't it be a lot more logical just to stay with his family and in his country where it is familiar? Why does he go? The same reason we go, to do whatever it is that God calls us to do, even when it is difficult or scary. He has God's promises. And so do we. One of those promises is, I will make you a great nation, Abraham. It's pretty laughable at this point in his life. A great nation? This great nation at this point consists of two people who have exactly zero descendants. How are Abraham, who's 75 years old, and Sarah, who's 65 years old, going to become a great nation if they have no descendants and Sarah is not able to have any children? But God says, go, and Abraham went. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't call you to leave your family behind to follow him? But sometimes he does. Anyone who loves his father, his mother, brother, sister, children, more than the Lord, is not worthy of the Lord. Well, at least he doesn't call you to places of discomfort, away from the things that you know well, but he does. He says to you and me, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, care for the least of these, my brothers, even when it is difficult, even when you don't know what you're getting into, even if they're in prison or hungry or might take advantage of you. I think this is what Christians were doing yesterday outside of Planned Parenthood in St. Louis, praying for those who persecute, caring for the least in God's kingdom. I didn't hear any insults directed my way, but other people, I'm told, had some rather nasty things directed at them. It's not always easy to live as your Lord calls you to live. But frankly, I didn't find it that difficult to march mid hundreds of Christians who were not only in agreement with me, but protecting me in a way, down Market Street from Planned Parenthood to the Arch. I find it a whole lot more difficult to go out and live with my unbelieving friends and neighbors than it was to march down that road. And I say that because when I'm out with my unbelieving friends and neighbors, I don't have the protection of others. I have to stand firm with nobody around. Why would I? It's not comfortable all the time. Why? Why would we do it? Same reason that Abraham did. We have a God who has given to us his promises, especially his promise that in Abraham, all families of this earth will be blessed. Didn't look like God was keeping that promise. Like I said, Abraham was 75 years old. 25 more years of life passed. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah, 90. Before they finally have a miracle child, Isaac, through whom all the nations, all the families of this earth are to be blessed. And then God asks Abraham to do the unthinkable. What looks completely contrary to God's way of doing things. Abraham, God says, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, this son that he had waited all these years for, this son through whom all people were to be blessed and who couldn't possibly be a blessing to all people or be made into a great nation if he was dead. Sacrifice this son to me, Isaac, God says. Now, God stopped it from actually happening, but Abraham was ready to do it. I think God stopped it because there was no good that would come out of Isaac being dead. But there was great good that could come from Isaac almost being dead. Abraham's faith was strengthened. Isaac learned what it is to follow our Lord. And we have an illustration of our Heavenly Father's amazing love for us and what he's willing to do to have us as his own. Don't miss Seminary and Finsky's Bible class today, where you're going to see a video clip of just how amazing that Father's love is. Catch what I'm saying here? This is a Heavenly Father who loves you, gives his Son for you, and has a son who's willing to give his life for you. Now, I think this was illustrated with Abraham and Isaac, too. Remember, by the time that Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham is 112 years old. Isaac's a strapping 12-year-old boy. I really don't think a 112-year-old is going to be able to bind up a 12-year-old and lay him on the altar unless the 12-year-old is cooperative. So also our Heavenly Father does not sacrifice his own son without his own son being cooperative. Jesus lets them send him to the cross, lets him hang him there on that Roman instrument of execution for the joy set before him, the joy of having you as his own. He endures the cross, scorning its shame. I don't know what your refrigerator looks like at home. Ours has a bunch of pictures of family members and other people, all people that we care about, on that refrigerator. If yours is like that, you know what I'm talking about whenever I say, if God has a refrigerator, your picture is hanging on it. This is one for whom, you are one for whom he gave his own dear son, and he has made you a member of his family. It is that son who got plopped down into a livestock trough and then whisked away to Egypt just in time to save him from death, only to return and be mocked by the people, scorned by the chief priests, condemned by the Romans, spat on by the soldiers, and lifted up like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. You remember the story? The people have disobeyed God like we do. They're being bitten by snakes. They're dying. And God says, Moses, take a bronze serpent. Put it up on a pole. Everyone who believes my promise will come to that pole. They'll look up at that serpent and they'll be healed because they have my promise. We are not snake bit. We are sin bit. But every one of us who comes with faith and looks on Jesus, not on a pole in the wilderness, but on a cross outside of Jerusalem with faith, we do not perish, but have eternal life. Because God kept his promise. Through Abraham, all the families of the earth are blessed. Because in Abraham was Abraham's descendant named Jesus, who atoned for the sins of the world. He's the one we trust. Now, our faith in him is not a blind faith. This is not trusting a God who might or might not come through for us. We're not betting on a long shot, 100-to-1 odds. This is a God who has always come through for his people and never failed, even when it cost him his own dear son. He's not going to fail us. In fact, he can't fail us. It would be contrary to his divine nature to fail us. So God promises, and Abraham went. God promises, and we go. God sends, and Abraham goes where he is asked. God sends us, and we go where we are asked. Where does Abraham end up? In the land of a bunch of unbelieving Canaanites. And where do we end up? In a land of a bunch of unbelieving Americans, who, many of whom call themselves Christians, but don't really count their Christianity as something to be lived out or even believed. What does Abraham do whenever he arrives in this land? He builds an altar, and then another altar, so that he can pray to the Lord, so that he can call upon the name of the Lord. What do? In the midst of this land, when we're placed among unbelievers, we build an altar so that we can worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, and call upon the name of the Lord, because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we recognize that we need this altar because we need a place where we can come and receive our Lord's gifts, where we can be nourished by the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. Because we're just like Abraham, we are not called to keep this faith to ourselves. We are blessed, so that we can be a blessing to all the families of this earth, which means we need to go from this place out into that world the way those Christians were yesterday. And over the centuries, Christians have been a blessing to our civilization. Who brought the first universities into the world? Christians. The first hospitals? Christians. Art, architecture, music. See, Bach, Handel, Michelangelo, Raphael, all Christians doing their work to the glory of God. Who did most of the work to end slavery? Christians. And in segregation? Christians. Who is it that's now working to defend unborn children from abortion and aging adults from euthanasia? Christians. But most of all, it is Christians who say to the people out there, God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It is through Christians that all people are blessed, especially with the message of Jesus. And that begins with those who are closest to us. For Abraham, that was Isaac, his own son. For us, children, grandchildren, godchildren, because these people do not become Christians simply because they're born into this world or born into our families. They become Christians by hearing the word of the Lord. So whether they are toddlers or teenagers, make sure that they do hear the word of the Lord. Bring them to God's house. Make sure they're in Sunday school. At home, pray with them. Study the scriptures with them. Teach them the Bible stories. Remind each one of them that they are born again by water and the Spirit. Which is to say, yes, they have earthly parents who gave them physical life, but they also have a heavenly Father who gives them eternal life, because this is the heavenly Father who loved them and gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God says, go. So Abraham went because he knew what little Danny Dutton knew, that wherever he goes, even if it is difficult or dangerous or scary, he has God's promise. God says go, and we go because we have God's promise. No matter how difficult or scary or dangerous, our Lord is there. Most of all, we have his promise that through Abraham, all the families on earth, including our families, will be blessed, because in Abraham was his descendant named Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 192.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
We stand for prayer.
As recipients of God's promises who have been blessed like Abraham, let us pray for ourselves, for the church, for the nation, and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you promised to bless all people through Abraham. Give to us faith so that we may delight in that promise that you kept by giving your only Son so that we might not perish but have eternal life. Make us bold in witness, faithful in mission, and courageous in living for you wherever you lead. Grant those same gifts to our sisters and brothers in St. John, St. Mark, and Trinity churches. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, in baptism, you cover us in a righteousness that is not our own. We work Christ's perfect life daily by faith. Work in the lives of Nathan, Jerry, Bryce, Nick, Molly, and all of us who are born again by water and the Spirit. Strengthen our faiths, renew our lives, and lead us not to lives of comfort, but to lives of service. Guard the lives of Christians who are persecuted for their faith and give them perseverance. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, bless all pastors. Enable them to faithfully to preach and teach what your scriptures reveal. Give us ears to hear and hearts to listen and believe your word that they proclaim. Raise up many for vocations in your church. Guard them, provide for them and lead them as they prepare in college and seminary to serve you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, send your gifts to those who teach and those who learn in the schools, colleges, and universities of the church. Provide the financial resources necessary for them to do your work. Give administrators wisdom as they seek to be faithful witnesses and leaders in a world that often challenges our Christianity. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, give to Donald, our president, to J.B., our governor, to the Congress of these United States, to the legislature of this state, to the judges of our land, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws, the integrity, wisdom, and compassion and strength to carry out their duties. Use them to defend life from conception to natural death. Preserve our liberties and enable us to use those liberties to pursue justice and provide for all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, lift up those who are bent over by the troubles of life. Give them your help and comfort. Grant the peace of our risen Lord to those who mourn. Be with those affected by the tornadoes in Tennessee and by disasters around the world. Provide relief for Bob, Ruby, Tracy, Aaron, Joshua, Jeanette, Matt, Bill, Roy, Darlene, Clem, Stanley, Dennis, Roger, Barb, Charles, Kathy, Sherry, Dimitri, Charlie, Devin, and Herbert. Thank you for the birth and life of baby Lucas. Keep him in your care. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, forgive our sins and nourish our faith as we receive the flesh and blood of the Son you gave that we might not perish but have eternal life. At this table, fill our hearts with repentance and with a willingness to follow wherever you lead. Because we have your promises, that Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we praise you for Abraham and Sarah and for all who have fought the good fight of faith and now rest with you. We remember with thanksgiving the blessings you showed to them in life. Teach us to imitate their examples of faith and obedience. And when our lives on earth end, bring us with them into your glorious presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, your Son brought hope and the promise of new birth and everlasting life to Nicodemus. Give to us the same hope as we rejoice that we and all the families of earth are blessed through Abraham's descendant Jesus. Provide everything we need for this life and for everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
forever reigns. The God who raised on high, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. Christ Jesus is the ground of grace, who was made
Go in the peace of Christ.
Thank you.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.